Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. Today, we're concluding an amazing series on the Gospel of Mark. Our topic, the risen Lord. It's the good news. But actually, the whole series has been good news. So if you've missed anything on this series on the Gospel of Mark, go to our website, hopetv.org/hopeSS. Go to our YouTube channel, watch it all, and be impacted by the life teachings of Jesus, but most of all, His immeasurable and unfailing love for you. We're going to have an amazing time today as we study about the risen Lord. So welcome to Hope Sabbath School. Welcome to the team. Amen. Good to see you all again. What a great series this has been.
Excellent.
It's touched our hearts, and we know that the message of Jesus can transform lives. So welcome to the team and some remote team members. Allie, great to see you with us. Glad you're here. Sabina, always good to have you with us too. We're glad you're here. And we're glad that you're here, our Hope Sabbath School family, wherever you're watching from around the world. In fact, when you write to us, it really encourages us. You know, we're looking at a camera here, but you're looking from your home, from your office, on your smartphone, wherever you are. We're just glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. Shamar writes to us from the beautiful island of Jamaica. Anybody from Jamaica here? Jamaican roots? No? Anybody been to Jamaica? Yeah. I've been to Jamaica. It's a beautiful island. Greetings to you and the team. My name is Brother Shamar, writing to you from the beautiful island of Jamaica. I've been watching Hope Sabbath School on your YouTube channel. Did you know we have over 110,000 subscribers?
Amen.
On a not too long ago launched YouTube channel. He's watching on YouTube. It's been a great source of help in my spiritual life. I am a teacher at my local church, and these studies help me to teach so my class can have a closer relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
What's my favorite Hebrew word?
Hallelujah.
It's my prayer that God will continue to bless your ministry as you all continue to be used by God. Well, Shamar, it's our prayer that there'll be a multiplication of in-depth interactive studies, and you're part of that miracle. Thank you so much for writing to us. Here is a note. I'll give you the person's name in just a minute. It's a viewer from the Philippines who says, I am a new follower of Jesus here in the Philippines, and my name is Salvacion. Oh, wow. That's salvation, right?
Yes.
I watch Hope Sabbath School. Thank you to the team. I found it very useful in studying and also here at our church.
Amen.
Well, Salvacion, thank you for writing to us from the Philippines. And we're glad you not only had the name, but you chose to be saved through faith in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Here's a little handwritten note from a monthly donor in Texas. And the donor writes, greetings to you all. Let's give a wave. Hello. The donor knows who it is. Pray for me and keep up the good work. God bless you. Well, you know, we want to pray for you, dear donor, and a monthly gift of $100. Mm-hmm. But we also thank you for praying for us.
Yes.
Because God's working through your sacrificial gift.
Yes.
God's impacting people around the world. So thank you to you, donor in Texas. You know who you are, and we're blessed by your monthly support. And thank you to each one. You can go to our website. You say, Derek, can I help, really? Yes. Go to hopetv.org/hopeSS. You say, Derek, that's so quick. Just Google Hope Sabbath School. You'll find it. Click on the donate button and say, God bless the work as we prepare for the coming of Jesus. One last note. Not too far away in Tennessee in the United States, Sharon writes and says, I have really enjoyed Hope Sabbath School, and I'm thankful that this program is available. Well, people like the donor from Texas help make that happen. It enables me to do a good in-depth study of the Word of God.
Amen.
May God continue to bless. Well, Sharon, thanks for writing to us from Tennessee. We're glad you're part of our Hope Sabbath School family. And we're glad you are, too. Would you write to us, sshope@hopetv.org? By the way, we get many comments on our YouTube channel. That's good. We read those, too. But we like a note every once in a while. sshope@hopetv.org. Tell us how God's blessing your life through a study of His Word. Especially, you might want to talk about how Jesus has become more precious to you through a study of His Word. Well, one last chance. Did you download that powerful resource, Steps to Christ, available in over 100 languages? Just go to our website, hopetv.org/hopess, and click on the free gift tab. Download your digital copy of a book that God has used to transform lives around the world, because this series is all about getting closer to Jesus, our Savior. And if you're there, have you downloaded our theme song? I hope you have, because we're going to sing it now. And we need to hear you sing with us. Let's sing together.
Bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. I will bless the Lord at all times, praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together.
You know, as I was singing with you, I thought about boys and girls, men and women around the world, singing a song. The words were written 3,000 years ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Godly men and women and children of God through the ages, even before Messiah had come, sang that song, different tune, I know. We don't know the original tune that David composed, but they sang that song. And men and women of God, boys and girls of God, have sung that song since Jesus came. Amen. Blessing the Lord.
Amen.
At all times. Maybe they do it with actions. I don't know. But surely we can bless God, especially with the topic today, the risen Lord.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank You that we can study Your Word today. We're in the end of Mark's Gospel, but it is the climax of the Gospel, the risen Lord. And I pray the Holy Spirit would guide each Hope Sabbath School member around the world as we together enter into this in-depth, interactive study of Your sacred Word. And we pray lives would be changed, including ours. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 And yes, I want to invite you to take your Bible and study with us, because It's as we read the word, the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts.
Amen.
We're starting in Mark 16 now, as we come to the close of this inspired account. And Lavinia, would you begin our study by reading the first three verses? You know, it was the women of God, the followers of Jesus, the women who came first. I wish I would say that some of us men were with you, but actually, the women of God who had followed Jesus and supported him with their means and with their prayers. Let's see what happens when they come to the tomb. If you could read the first three verses of Mark 16.
Reading from the New King James Version. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?"
So they're coming here. What thoughts are going through their minds? Anybody? What thoughts are going through their minds? The early morning, maybe it's still not much light, just dawn, right? What thoughts are going through their minds?
Well, because Jesus was placed in the tomb just before the Sabbath, so they didn't have time to embalm him. They didn't have time to put. So they were thinking, let's do this before he decomposes, or maybe, you know, just not let much time pass.
Okay, also, so you're telling me, Gladys, that they're expecting to find a dead body.
Yes. A dead body. Yeah.
Anybody want to agree or disagree?
Agree.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because what they're saying here is, well, who's going to roll away the stone for us, right?
Right?
They brought the spices. They're not coming and saying,
right,
it's the third day,
right?
At this point.
Right.
But Sean, if you could read on, they're in for some surprises.
Yes, they are.
If you could read for us verses 4 through 7 of Mark 16, let's see what happens when they come to the tomb.
Yes, we'll be reading Mark 16, verses 4 through 7, and I'll be reading from the NLT version. But as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled aside. When they entered the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a white robe sitting on the right side. The women were shocked, but the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you before he died."
Now that's a New Living Translation, but I'm a little puzzled because it seems to be interpreting the text a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At least my Bible doesn't say it was an angel. It just says that they saw a young man,
mm-hmm,
right? He said to them, not the angel said,
but
there may be, I don't disagree. I'm just thinking maybe they're doing a little interpretation
of
in
course.
That it's not a totally
literal,
faithful translation, perhaps. But what clue, Jenna, is there that this is indeed not just a bystander, but actually someone sent from heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, we do see that it says that he was wearing a white robe.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of any other places where that's kind of a little clue that someone special showed up? Help me, Travis.
When he was ascended to
heaven. Acts chapter 1.
Yep. Yep.
And two
right.
men in
white
apparel said, "Men of Galilee, why do you..." And they speak a prophecy.
Yep.
This same Jesus you see ascending will so come in
like manner
as you saw him go. So these times when messengers show up in white robes, I think it's right, but I don't know if in the original text it says it was an angel,
of course.
But they're surprised. What are they most surprised about?
He's gone.
He's not there.
That Jesus isn't there.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
In fact, doesn't the angel tell us He is
not here.
He is
risen.
Thank you. By the way, there are some who try to explain away the resurrection. They say, well, the women went to the tomb and someone said he's not here.
No.
They literally leave out the next words. Yeah. They say he's not here. And that's called a wrong tomb theory. Mm-hmm. But they know they didn't go to the wrong tomb because they knew where he'd been laid.
Right,
and
right.
By the way, if the enemies of Jesus realized they'd gone to the wrong tomb, all they had to do was show them the right tomb.
Right, exactly.
Where the body still was.
Yeah, yeah.
So unfortunately, sometimes people twist scripture to their own destruction.
Right.
He's not here. But don't leave the next three words out.
That's right.
He's risen.
He's risen, right? Sabina, I see your hand. That's the biggest surprise, yeah, right? Not just the man dressed in white. Sabina?
Yes, I think that as far as surprise it is that, just as you well said, Derek, the fact that they proclaim that Jesus, not only he was not here, but he was risen. There is a message there that can be, it's undeniable, right? And that's not just in the Gospel of Mark. It's also in the other Gospels. So we have no question that the message was given in that very important critical moment, that it's not just he had disappeared, but he was alive.
That's right. And let's not forget that if we forget everything else in the study, if you forget, say, I don't remember everything, remember these three words. Yes. What are they?
He is risen.
That's it. That came from a heavenly messenger.
That's right.
But having heard that, Tendi, read verse 8 of Mark 16 for us, because I'm a little puzzled by the reaction of the women.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and it reads, "So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. For they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid."
Mm-hmm. Now, I don't want to fault these women of God, because they did come when everybody else had gone, right?
Yeah. Right.
But what should they have been shouting as they ran away from the tomb? What were those three words again?
He is risen.
So what's going on? Help me, someone. You just heard Tendi read verse 8. Trembled, said nothing to anyone, afraid.
Wow.
Why, Puya?
I think partly it could be that they were so shocked by seeing an angelic being that they didn't know how to process that yet.
Yeah. So that's an interesting thought. You know, I had a traumatic experience one time, and I called my wife. I had just gone off the side of a mountain upside down backwards in a car.
Ooh.
And my wife said, "I think you're in shock." So you're kind of being gracious to these ladies.
Right.
Well, the story's not over yet, Jason.
Also, I was thinking, too, that they probably was thinking that no one would believe them. So why would they even tell such a story, you know, because it seems so just outrageous.
Okay, maybe not. I'd like to think they were still in shock. Let's get to verse 9. And Travis, could you read verse 9 for us? Because it's quite startling. If I was making up the story, I might have Jesus first appear to, what about to Pilate? Would that be impressive?
Yes.
Or maybe to
Sanhedrin. To the Sanhedrin,
Joseph of Arimathea, maybe one of the leaders there. But let's see what it says. Who does Jesus meet first?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, of whom he cast 7 demons."
Puya, I think you told us one study that you know, women were not really considered that... Well, their testimony was not accepted in a court of law, right? So they weren't, like, highly regarded. Mm-hmm. And this is a person, at least according to the text, that had struggled with some major challenges.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So why, help me, someone, why does Jesus appear, what did it say in the text? He appeared
first to
Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 demons. Mm. What do you think? Yes, Puya.
I believe one answer could be that this is to show that the story truly is a true account, right? If someone were to make this up, as you pointed out, why have Mary Magdalene as the first woman to see Jesus.
Well, the first person.
First person. Yep. First person. Yep. So the very fact that the gospel writers are including what we could consider embarrassing facts, like men are hiding away, you know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like if Mark or Peter, you know, were to make this story up, he probably wouldn't make himself look good. Exactly. But we don't see that. So this story is very trustworthy in that sense.
Now, there is somewhere another gospel. Travis, maybe after your comment, you can take us there. Which other gospel gives us a lot more information about that meeting? Does anybody know?
John.
The Gospel of John, that's right. Travis, I'd like to hear your comment and then take us to John 20. I'm so thankful for verses 11 to 18 of John 20 because it gives us the rest of this very brief comment from the Gospel of Mark.
So the comment I wanted to make is maybe he appeared to her first because she's the one who anointed him for burial. So that was just, it just came to my mind. It's like, wow, you know, she was the one who kind of understood what was going to happen to Jesus.
And there's another very simple reason why he appeared to her first.
She was there.
She was there. Which tells us about her. Don't just say what. No, no. Yeah, she was there.
Yeah.
Right?
She placed herself.
I was only going to add to that Jesus, throughout his ministry, he always sought to uplift least of these. He did the same thing after his death. He acknowledged her part in his
ministry.
Isn't
that beautiful?
Amen.
And she was there. Don't forget that, right? But here's the rest of the story. Maybe, Travis, someone is hearing this for the very first time. It's a beautiful story, isn't it? Pick up the story in John chapter 20, beginning with verse 11.
And read to 18?
And read down through verse 18.
Very good. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her.
So back to, I always thought when she's weeping in the garden, she was grieving, and I'm sure she was, but maybe she was also still in shock, if we follow your logic, Puya, because the angel had said he's not here. But the question to the gardener seems to imply what?
She didn't believe
him. She's still not really got it settled, right? Because she's asking, did you move the body? Right? So maybe it is shock. I guess we'll ask her when we get there. But what a beautiful picture. Mary, he calls it by name. I think Rabboni actually has the idea of it's personal, right?
My teacher.
What impacts you about this story? Why do you think John says, guided by the Holy Spirit? I just have to include, Allie, what do you think? I just have to include a little more of this story because it's so precious.
So I could see that the disciples are very skeptical and they were hesitant to believe, you know, the Mary Magdalene's testimony. And it was beautiful to see how Jesus turned the link, was revealing himself to her And they still, they're struggling because they went through so much grief. It was so traumatic and shocking experience that they went through that it was really hard to believe, like what is just happening? It is really true what is happening right now.
So not only is it going to be verified for the disciples, but it's written down in scripture so that we don't forget. I want to look at verses 10 and 11. And Jason, if you could read verses 10 and 11, because Mary has now had this personal encounter. We read the bigger picture in John's gospel. Mm-hmm. And what does she do, 10 and 11, and how do the disciples react?
All right. Be my pleasure, Derek. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And the Bible says, she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive, and had been seen by her, they did not believe.
We're going to keep reading. You're going to go, what is it going to take for them to believe? And the answer for one of them is
to touch.
Touch my hands. Put your hand on my side. Stop doubting and believe. I'm just so thankful for the patience of God. But let's keep reading on in the story. And Jenna, if you could read for us verses 12 and 13. And as Jenna's reading, what other gospel writer gives us another piece of that story, even the name of one of the disciples? Verses 12 and 13, Jenna, of Mark 16.
Thank you, Derek. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Mark 16, verse 12. After that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to others, but they did not believe them either.
By the way, and this I don't have an answer for, but if anyone, either a remote or someone here, maybe you can send me an email to sshopetv.org. He appeared to them in another form. Help me with that, somebody. What's it saying there? It appears that he goes from there. I you know, we have the expression hyperspaces, right? I mean, all of a sudden he's on the road to Emmaus, and he'll be up in Galilee. What in another form? Because when he meets with them, he's like, do you have anything to eat? I mean, he's a real person, right? He's risen from the dead.
Well, in Luke, when he was on the road to Emmaus, he said that he was like a traveler going. So I don't think that when he says in another form, it's like, you know, a ghost or anything like that. No, I think it's like just dressed differently or looking differently than what they remember.
You know, I kind of imagine him, you know, obviously he doesn't have his grave clothes on, right? So he's got a traveler's clothes. Maybe he has a shawl over his head, you know, and they don't immediately recognize him. You're quoting from Luke 24, right?
Yes.
Where he even gives us one of the names of the two disciples.
Something that struck me here about the unbelief is not only did they just see him physically, but he gave them a Bible study and showed them from Scripture who he was. And they had to share that experience as well.
And they did believe eventually. What was the trigger? We won't read all of Luke 24, but he gives them the Bible study and their hearts are burning within them. Like he's shown, what Bible is he studying from?
The Old Testament.
The Hebrew Scriptures, right? Yeah. He's showing all of the prophecies, like Sabina, you mentioned in a previous study about Psalm 22 and all of the things that were fulfilled, including the glorious outcome.
Right.
Having started with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But what was it that caused them to finally recognize him? Do you remember, Puya?
Yeah.
I think when Jesus broke bread.
So I want to ask, and I don't know the answer, so you'll have to help me. Was it that they saw the piercings, whether on his hand or his wrist, they saw that? Or was it the way he broke the bread that they'd seen before when he said, this is my body broken for you? What do you think? What was it that all of a sudden they said, it's Jesus? And why did he conceal himself up until that point? Well, let's start with, why do you think they recognized him when he broke the bread? Anyone have an idea?
I think it's just the way that he did it, because they were with him many times. So it was just something that he did. It was typical.
Okay.
Of him.
All right. Could be.
And Derek, to your second question, I believe the reason why Jesus didn't fully reveal himself immediately was so that they could trust him also based on the scripture, right? Because if he showed himself fully immediately, they probably wouldn't take the time to go back to the scriptures any longer.
I agree with you 100%. I mean, if it was me, it was like, it's Jesus, right?
Exactly, yeah.
So he takes them through the Hebrew scriptures, as you mentioned, Sean, and what happens to them?
Their hearts are burning.
Yes.
Yeah, like, whoa, hearts. What a Bible study. Right. Sabina, you've seen people, I'm sure, as you've studied the Bible with them, and, you know, we have all kinds of expressions. We say an aha moment or a light goes on, but this is like, it's like their chest is on fire, right?
Right, yes. And I think that as I reflect upon the reasons why Jesus maybe chose that path, I'm reminded of how many times he actually, even during throughout his ministry, he always wanted the disciples, as opposed to be just focused on what they were seeing that moment, to refer back to scripture, because they had the privilege of have access and see what Jesus was doing like firsthand. But I think that not all the disciples and followers of Jesus, just like ourselves, had the same privilege. And he's here conveying a lesson to us all that the source that we have that was given of revelation for us to hold to needs to be the Bible, right? That we should be considering what's written there and believing on it as trustworthy.
Well, finally, Jesus talks to the 11. And I'm not sure which meeting this is, because, you know, the other gospel writers have several meetings, one without Thomas, remember? Mm-hmm. And later they come with Thomas. Here it says the 11. So maybe this is the one where Thomas is actually there. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just calling the 11. One is missing, right? Who's missing?
Judas.
Hanged himself tragically, right? Yeah. He could have repented like Peter repented.
Amen.
Yeah.
Tragically, he's not there. But I want you to notice how, Sean, if you could read for us verse 14, how we're still in Mark 16, 14, how Jesus speaks to the disciples when he talks to them as a group, and let's ask why.
Yes, good question. Mark 16, verse 14, from the New Living Translation. Still later, he appeared to the 11 disciples as they were eating together. He rebuked them for their stubborn unbelief, because they refused to believe those who had seen him after he had been raised from the dead.
Okay, so why? Why did he? Now, I know Jesus is love. He loves us with what kind of love?
Everlasting.
Unfailing love. So I know that they said, I'm being scolded, but I know he loves me, right?
Right, right.
But why does he speak to them? And my Bible says he rebuked them. Mm-hmm. Why? Why, having heard so many reports that he had risen from the dead, why was it so important that they believe the report?
Yes.
Yes, Sean.
Yeah, I'll say two things. One of my favorite authors said that even when Jesus rebukes people, you can hear the tears in his voice as he's speaking to them.
Okay.
So even rebuke can be love.
Okay.
And in this situation, he loves them because he's about to send them on a mission.
Right.
He knows what he needs them to do, and he needs them to understand, I am risen, now go and tell everybody.
Do you want to add to that, Tandy, or is that exactly what you were thinking?
I wanted to say that he had prepared them before.
He told them
several times, and they still didn't get it. And that's why
is it crucial that they embrace the report that he's risen from the dead? They're seeing it now, but why is that important?
They have to believe in him. They're about to be sent in a mission, and it was important for them to be grounded in the word and in the person who's sending them out. Mm-hmm. So just believing the report and just dismissing them, they were not believing of who they were talking about. Mm-hmm. So Jesus wanted to make sure that they were grounded.
Yes.
The resurrection of Jesus is essential.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
it's not just that he died for our sins according to the scriptures.
Right. Yeah. Mm.
What did the resurrection of Jesus from the dead demonstrate? Why did he rebuke them after so many testimonies that, and he's going to tell them, you go out and tell. Mm-hmm. Mm. Why was that so important, Travis?
It demonstrated his power to raise the sinner, or his power right. over death.
Yes. Mm.
That too, but what else did it demonstrate? Sabina, I see your hand. What did the resurrection of Jesus from the dead demonstrate to the honor of the universe?
Yes, well, that he is victorious, that his character and his victory was just as he promised, as was anticipated in prophecy. His victory happened not by might or force, but by the power of his own selfless, righteous, sinless living, death, and now resurrection. Just as Travis was sharing, he won over death, and nothing else can hold that back.
So we're going to go to the book of Revelation, but Puya, a comment before we go there.
Right. As we're studying through this, I have a different thought here. That in some ways, I'm actually glad that we can read the fact that it took time for them to believe. Because, you know, a lot of people struggle today with reasons to doubt the story.
Right.
And so by reading through this account that even the earlier disciples were doubting at first, somehow give me hope, you know, that we're not alone. And the fact that they later came to the point where they were willing to give up their life for this story shows that it was really true. Mm-hmm. You know, why else would they be willing to die if they knew that this was a lie? Because it really took time for them to come to full conviction.
So I'm glad Puya's with us today. Lavinia, I'll take your comment because Puya's explained about the women in shock.
Yeah.
And now he's saying actually the delay in really coming to grasp gives courage to those of us who may need a little more.
Right.
And of course, the ultimate witness of that is Thomas, where Jesus says, come here, Thomas.
Yeah.
He does say, stop doubting
right.
and believe, right? Mm-hmm. And blessed are those who don't see.
And yet believe.
And yet believe. But he's patient, isn't he? Amen.
Right.
Lavinia?
I was going to comment on his encounter with Thomas, that he was speaking to those of us who live at this time of history who weren't there to see the nail prints in his hands or the sword that pierced his side, that he was speaking to us, that blessed are those who believe but yet have not seen.
And someday we will see, right?
Yes.
And we'll use my favorite Hebrew word again, right?
Hallelujah.
We see him coming. Mm-hmm. Let's see a description of the risen Christ in Revelation chapter 1. Gladys, could you read verses 17 and 18? This whole book, for maybe someone watching, you say, what's this revelation? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So it talks about Jesus and all the things he will accomplish until his glorious return and the new heaven and new earth, right?
Amen.
But let's see how he describes himself.
Yes, I'm reading from the New International Version. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead. And now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades.
So I want to come back, Travis, to what you said earlier, because Sabina says it shows basically the plan of salvation was effective, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus conquers death. He presents himself before the Father, right? Mm. He's given the name which is above every name. But he also has the keys.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about those keys.
Well, Satan had two weapons, sin and death, and Jesus came to conquer both.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, we've read this in previous studies in 1 Thessalonians 4, the promise is that when he returns with the shout of the archangel and the trumpet of God, that the dead in Christ will rise, which is good news for me, Derek. One, I might not be alive. I might be one of those risen when Jesus comes back, but I get to see my dead loved ones, my mother and other dead loved ones. So I love how that verse starts. Do not be
anymore,
afraid.
By the way, you right. say dead. They're sleeping in Jesus
yeah.
now,
right? Yeah.
But they're going to be raised.
They're going to be raised. But I love how the verse starts. Do not be afraid. Mm. Yeah. And I think that's what God wanted to accomplish for us with Jesus' death, is that we wouldn't fear. We wouldn't have to fear death.
Mm. Amen.
I want to come to the keys, right? Because it's mm-hmm. the keys of the grave and of death. Mm-hmm. And look in 1 Peter. Peter, of course, was one who went to the tomb and also one in the upper room. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Mm-hmm. Sabina, if you could mm-hmm. read that for us. I like the way this former fisherman describes the importance of the resurrection.
So I'll be reading from the New King James Version, 1 Peter verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Mm. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. What has he given us?
Mm. Resurrection.
A living hope.
Living hope.
Right. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. A living hope. By the way, I maybe should apologize. I called Peter a former fisherman. He might tell me when he meets me, I'm still a fisherman. but this is really profound. It's
yeah, sure.
Fisher of men.
Yes. Yeah,
it's like our scripture song.
Yeah.
Yes.
Blessed be the name of God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I will bless the Lord
at all times,
right?
Right. Man.
Because he's given us a living hope.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You know, the Apostle Paul spoke about that whole issue, and I'm going to ask Jenna to take us to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It's a deep passage, actually, but it explains why the resurrection of Jesus is so important.
That's right.
And how his resurrection assures
our resurrection.
Yeah. That death is conquered for us too. If you'd begin, Jenna, by reading the first six verses of 1 Corinthians 15.
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, 1 Corinthians 15, 1. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, as of first importance, what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep.
Mm. I'm going to ask Tendi to pick up in verse 12 in just a minute, but did you notice it wasn't just an occasional person like Mary here or Peter there, but actually up to how many?
500
people. Yeah. And notice what Paul says. Some of them
are still alive.
They're still alive.
Yes.
That's right.
Which means
you can go talk to them.
Go talk to them. Right, Sean? Right. Do you see how important our testimony is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Jesus, what were those three words?
He is risen.
Right. It's an important testimony to give. Tendi's going to read on, follow along in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 to 20, where Paul carefully explains why the resurrection of Christ is so important.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It reads, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. Mm. You are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead, mm-hmm. and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep.
Amen.
So that may be a new term, the first fruits. Mm-hmm. Someone explain that to me, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Travis, what's Paul saying here?
Paul is saying that he is the first human being representing us being raised from the grave. He was the Son of Man, the Bible calls him, the Son of Man, our representative, the first human being. Matter of fact, that
others were raised in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. but he leads the way in the conquering of death. Actually, the ones raised in the Old Testament were only raised by faith in the Messiah who was to come, right?
Exactly.
Amen.
Yes, Gladys.
Yeah, Paul was also referring, you know, at the time of the sacrifices and the festivals that were celebrated, whenever there was harvest, they had to bring the first fruit. And Jesus, God said that the first fruit belongs to him. So when he uses the first fruit, he was referring to that celebration that was done after harvest.
So this resurrection of Christ is the evidence and the promise of a great harvest to come, which will include your mom, Travis, right?
Amen.
And will include, somebody say, someone you're looking
grandma.
For.
Grandma.
Grandma, okay.
My grandpa. Grandfather.
Grandfather. It will include those who sleep in Jesus.
Yes.
They did not believe in vain. Someone say, praise
Amen.
God.
Praise
God. They did not believe in vain. They believed that when Christ was risen, he was the first fruits of a great harvest.
Amen.
And that's why the resurrection is so important. Amen. So when you tell people Christ died for you, also tell them
he raised
his words.
He is risen.
He conquered death.
Amen.
You don't need to fear death anymore.
Oh,
yes.
Well, the story is not over in the last few minutes that we have, because at the end of Mark's gospel, Jesus says, I need you to go and tell everyone, right?
Yes.
I need you to go and tell everyone, having chastised them a little for being so slow to believe. Let's read his instructions. Lavinia, verse 15. This chapter is packed, isn't it?
Yes.
Mark 16 and verse 15. What is his instruction?
Reading from the New King James Version. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Several questions here. What's the gospel?
Good news.
The good news.
The good news.
Yes. Literally what it means, right? Yep. The good news of what?
About Jesus. Salvation.
Salvation through faith in Jesus, that he died for our sins and he
rose
again. He's conquered death.
That's right.
And he offers to us the gift of his eternal life.
Amen.
What do you notice in that command? And you know that other gospel writers include additional commissions to go and share. What do you notice in this one that Mark records that's important? Yes, Lavinia.
It's not exclusive, it's universal.
Yes.
Go into the entire world and preach the gospel to every creature.
I like what you said there, because if you just said to the whole world, you could say, well, I went to Myanmar, Puya might say, but did you tell everyone there?
That's right.
Right? Not just mention it to somebody at the airport.
Right.
It's inclusive. What else did you notice? What's the first word?
Go.
It's a command. God is telling you, you need to go and tell this good news to everyone.
And by the way, he will tell us in the book of Acts, go. Wait until you've received power.
That's right.
When the Holy Spirit. But then?
Go.
Then go. And go everywhere. Thank you, Lavinia. Yeah. Inclusive, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And let's see in verse 16, what is, I guess you would say, an outward confession of that inward commitment?
Yes.
Puya, would you read that for us? Mark 16 and verse 16.
Sure, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned."
Mm. What's missing in that second phrase?
Baptized.
Baptized. You see, if you don't believe...
That's right. Mm.
Yeah. What? Sean, tell me about that. If you don't believe...
Well, if you don't believe in Jesus, right, the gospel, he is risen, if you don't believe, you're condemned.
Even if you go and get baptized.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
So what is the significance, Sean, of baptism? Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness.
Right. You already were talking about a little bit before we read this. It's a outward expression of what's already happening in our heart. Mm. As we go down into the water, it symbolizes dying to the old self. We are now raising as a new person in Jesus Christ. Mm. And then we will be united with him as that first fruit to go to heaven. It's a beautiful ceremony.
I like the smile when you're sharing that, Puya.
Right. That's a beautiful description. In the, his letters to the Romans, Paul said the exact same thing, that you know, we died, we were buried with Christ in baptism.
That's right.
And just as Jesus was resurrected, as we come out of the water, it represents that we now get to live new life.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen for that.
Amen.
Absolutely beautiful. Well, I want to go to verses 17 and 18 because Jesus gives a remarkable promise. By the way, this portion is missing from some manuscripts. Okay. Mm-hmm. So someone might say, well, I don't believe this. Well, okay. There's plenty of other texts that talk about going greater things than these you'll do because I go to my Father.
That's right.
So, but I just want to give that disclaimer. If someone has an NIV, it may be, I think, in the footnote, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But let's read it anyway, because I think it sounds a lot like Jesus. And we're looking at verses 17 and 18, Jason.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what promise Jesus gives. He's told us to go. Mm-hmm. He's told us baptism is a sign from those who believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's see verses 17 and 18.
All right, and the Bible says, "And these signs will follow those who believe. Mm-hmm. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. Mm-hmm. They will take up serpents. And they will drink anything deadly. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover."
And I'm going to have you read verse 20 in just a minute, because some will come and say, "Didn't we do many marvelous works in your name?" In the Sermon on the Mount.
Right.
And the Lord says, "I never knew you.
I
never knew you." So what is the purpose of the signs and wonders? Verse 20, listen carefully.
All right. And the Bible says, "And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen.
Amen.
Did you notice?
Yes.
I see some of you nodding. Help me, Sabine. I see you nodding. What is the purpose of the signs and the wonders according to verse 20?
It's to confirm the word that we have to share.
And what
I
word
would
is
say
that?
Also, the word of the gospel, the good news of the resurrection of Jesus, that he is risen, that he saved us, and that he has a plan for the lives of those who we come in contact with.
So when God Peter and John see a cripple on the by the gate, and they say, "In the name of Jesus,"
right?
Yes. They've been telling about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
"In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk." Yeah. Mm. The sign confirms
the name of Jesus, the
word,
power,
right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So should we expect, Jenner, signs and wonders, miraculous evidence if we go out faithfully proclaiming the gospel message?
Yes, definitely. Actually, in Matthew 28, verse 20, it says, talking
you
about
read
the Great
that for
Commission.
Us?
Yes.
Okay, hold on just a minute.
Okay.
Matthew 28:20. Verse 20. Go ahead and read that for us.
I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible, Matthew 28:20, and it says, "Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So you see, the Lord has given us his promise that he will be present with us.
Mm-hmm.
And his presence at times is shown by these signs and wonders, but they are because as we are going, as we're believing, as we're trusting, We're staying with him, and he's and the signs come. Sometimes they don't come.
But you said teaching to observe all things I've commanded you. Mm-hmm. So it's yes. confirming the
word.
Confirming the word.
The truth of the word.
The truth right. of the word.
Some may expect to see like big signs and wonders that you could observe on the outside. But to me, the greatest sign mm-hmm. and wonder is how the good news of Jesus can change a person.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Greatest sign and wonder. We need to look at one last verse. Travis, could you read for us the last text is Mark 16 and verse 19. It answers the question, where is Jesus now?
Mm-hmm. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Mm. Why does it mention the right hand? I mean, he could just have sat down somewhere, right? Does anybody know the significance of sitting down at the right hand? The right hand
is the place of authority.
The place of authority, the place of favor.
Yes.
Mm. You know, and he's going to uphold us with his righteous right hand too. Jesus goes, he sits down in heaven in a place of authority. He will be given the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Amen.
And every tongue, even the lost, will confess. I believe even the rebellious angels, Satan himself, just and true your ways, O King of the saints, because the great controversy will be ended by the complete revelation of the immeasurable, unfailing love of God. I tell you, I want to be there on that day when we sing, Hallelujah. Amen. For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Don't you?
Amen.
Amen.
Friend, you can be there. Say, Jesus, save me today.
Amen.
Jesus, be Lord of my life today. Jesus, use me today to share the good news about your saving grace.
Amen.
That's my prayer for you and for each one of us. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've been moved as we've gone through the Gospel of Mark, an inspired testimony about the life and the teachings of Jesus. May we not just know about it. May we know Jesus, whom to know is life eternal. I pray this for each one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us for this series. You say, Derek, this is amazing. Yes. And it's also amazing what God has in store for those who love Him. Trust Him with your life and go out and be a blessing to those around you.